T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
That is the Midday Show here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Normally, Andy Bunker is in this seat, but he's on vacation this week. I'm Chris Goforth. Glad to get a chance to be able to hang out with you. Glad to be able to get a chance to hang out with my guy Randy McMichael for a couple of days this week. So it's time to we'll get into talking some college football next. By the way, Chris Blair, play-by-play voice of the LSU Tigers.
We haven't talked to Chris since they won, have they?
I don't think we have.
Yeah, because Chris was on like damn near every other week during the season. He's a good man. I can't wait to talk to him. But yeah, I don't think we have talked to Chris since they've won that championship. But
a guy familiar with the state of Georgia, former voice of the Georgia Southern Eagles before he went to LSU. So he knows his way around the state of Georgia pretty well. And then
When was he a Southern?
Oh, he was there for a long time. We'll have to ask him.
I can't remember the years when he was there, but yeah, I can't wait to get a chance to talk to him though.
Three damn good questions coming up later on in the hour as well. Right now, though, it is time for the big clip of the day. It's brought to you by Braxton Automotive, after warranty luxury repair.
You know, we really don't know how to prepare, but I'd say the ultimate thing is we're just trying to get as many bodies as we can. And now knowing that we're starting the year down a bunch of players, whatever we can do to try to add some guys here at the end, add back to that depth, we're certainly going to look to do it.
That is Alex Anthopoulos. That was him actually, Randy, on Monday. We didn't know it then, but kind of a little bit of foreshadowing of what was to come from Alex Anthopoulos.
Yeah, I mean, they don't know what's to come, man. And you know, Alex, the one thing I like about Alex, he plays it tight to the vest, man. And he really doesn't give you too much as far as information of what moves he's trying to make. And we know that he's not afraid to pull the trigger. And you've seen lately that, you know, that was the one thing a few years back about the Braves and Liberty Media. Would they give you the means to make this team better? And they've given him an opportunity to go out there and sign people that probably a few years ago they wouldn't have signed. And we're talking about the Will Smiths and guys like that as far as the back end, Shane Green, and giving Josh Donaldson that one-year deal when everybody – I still remember when Josh Donaldson signed, everybody was like, oh, it's a waste of money. And then Josh the Rainmaker came and did what he did. So, I mean, Alex is going to get the job done and you know, just continue to fortify this roster and make it better. And I think Yasiel Puig, I think he makes the Braves roster better, not worse. I think when you see a lot of pundits in town, a lot of guys I respect as far as baseball writers and everything, the way they're trying to spin this negatively, I just don't understand why you are. I just don't see a negative to this signing because they don't need Yasiel Puig. They don't need him to win. They don't need him. You know, he's not going to come up here and tear down the locker room and divide it and all this thing. I just don't see that happening. I don't. Just because Clayton Kershaw didn't like him or somebody. I mean, Clayton, I don't know Clayton, you know, but so? Yeah, so Clayton didn't like him. So you mean tell me the Dodgers like Clayton couldn't win in the playoffs because of Yasiel Puig was on the team? Let me know. I mean, it could be it. Maybe he might be a bad influence on Mike Soroka. I don't know, but who cares? He's here, and I really enjoyed the signing.
Yeah, can you lick your bat in a pandemic?
Oh, that's a great. I mean, you can't spit or those sunflower seeds, which is going to be the oddest thing in the world. Because we were talking, you just remember being a little kid and just when you were playing, just sandlot ball, just spitting, just to spit.
Exactly.
You spit because you know you thinking that's the thing to do because just spitting. So I mean, that's going to be the most interesting thing is the spitting part about it. and the licking of the fingers, because now they got, you know, they're talking about giving some kind of wet towel and putting it in their back pocket. Like, this is gonna be funny, man. That's all. I mean, it's gonna be funny, but all of it is just the times that we're in. It will not be the new norm. I mean, guys will be able to spit again and chew sunflower seeds, and fans will be in the stands. But as of right now, that's just where we're at, Chris. So you got to just be able to adjust.
Yasiel Puig, now a Brave. Braves made some other news yesterday. Mike Soroka is now set to be the opening day starter. Here's Soroka.
Yeah, I mean, I think if anything, it was about understanding how much Julio does on a daily basis to be able to take the field healthy and ready to compete. You know, obviously he came out and had those two extremely good years at the forefront, but really every year he was your consistency. You look at his total numbers at what he put up over the last, was it 7-8 years with the Braves? I mean, they were just the consistency. That's why I called him El Caballo.
That is Mike Soroka talking about Julio Teheran, who it's been a while since we had somebody else that was named the opening day starter for the Braves other than Julio. Randy, it feels like the torch was passed from like Phil Niekro to Glavin and Maddox, and then right to Julio, and he had it for about 15 or 20 years. Now, that wasn't the case, but
it wasn't
certainly
the case,
that's
but it
the
seemed
way
like it.
It's the way it feels, it, yeah.
It felt like, you remember last year, was Julio supposed to start opening day? Hell no. Who started opening day last year for the Braves? Julio Teheran. So you're like, huh? Yeah. It's like, yeah. Damn. Like, we have that funny joke, man. I mean, Julio just going to be here, man. And watch him go out there, because I know he's in Anaheim, if I'm not mistaken. Watch him go out there and win like 12 games. Oh, they're playing 60 Randy. So watch him go out there and win 8 games or something like that, man. Watch him pitch well, man. But, yeah, I mean, it's an honor for Mike Soroka to go out there and because I'm pretty sure he knew that he was going to be the open day show. I think we all knew that he wasn't. I'm not surprised. We're not surprised by this news. But just to get the call or the text or, you know, maybe a sit down with Brian Snicker and the organization to say you are a guy for opening day. Hell yeah, that's a big deal, man. Opening day in baseball. And I never knew the pageantry of opening day in baseball until working here and talking to people, and they tell me how special it is. Now, it's going to be a different opening day, of course. But just the opening day of baseball is just like one of the best things in sports. And, you know, for you to be an opening day starter is going to be a great honor for him. And hopefully this won't be his last one. Hopefully he can be like Julio Teheran, except good. As far as, you know, continuing to be the opening day starter for the Braves.
Let's move on. Let's jump back into some National Football League. Here is Cam Newton now. That's next here on our big clip of the day on the Midday Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This is Cam Newton on the Panthers not calling him before the trade.
Nobody called me. My agent called me, bro. I was like, bro, it was a text sent. And then I was like, what? And then he called me, was like, I told them, don't just do that. Like, we're going to have to agree to what team you're going to be traded to. I said, this whole time, the owner couldn't call me. The GM couldn't call me. But they called me after the fact. Basically, they called me with the decision already made. You know, it was in the book. And then it's like, okay, I'm going to be professional. But in the back of my mind, I'm like, bro, y'all got some nerve, bro. Like, I'm a warrior, bro.
Okay. All right.
What do you think, Randy?
There's certain things that I think about, you know, when you look at the business of football. And I learned this, Chris, a long time ago. I learned it my first year in the league. You know, when you go through a process of the offseason, and you're because, you know, all the rookies were always together. Like, we work out together, we ran together, everything. You know, they kept us in. And so you got close to those guys. And then when they started getting cut, you're getting your feelings about it. And a veteran can't even say, man, this is a business. They're not going to be the last player cut, and they're not going to be the last player cut that you are friends with. So you need to get in your mind that this is a business. And from that day on, I always took it as a business. They're different now. They're real sensitive. They're real attached. They feel entitled. And, oh, now the thing with Cam Newton is Cam was your franchise player. Cam was the face of your franchise. Now, I know it's new ownership and all that, but still, Cam was the franchise. He was your franchise for all those years he was there. You can say what you want. He went a team captain. Cam was, so from the day Cam was drafted until the time he was released, he was their franchise player and the face of their franchise. And you mean to tell me you can't call him? I mean, yeah, that is kind of, you know, kind of jacked up for a player of his stature when you talk about what he did for that organization. But they don't owe you that. You know, and that's what the thing about it is, like, people get so upset and they want, oh, I got to use this motivation. Like, Cam is, you can look at all of the videos, you hear Cam is really hurt. He is hurt by what Carolina did. You know, but you can't use that as just the motivation to want to do well. Oh, I got to prove them wrong. No, go play well because you're a good damn football player. You want to win, not to get back at Carolina. And that's where Cam, the thing that's been going on each week with Cam, more and more videos come out. You can just tell Cam is really, really hurt. His feelings are hurt. And that's what these players, I mean, the greatest player of all time, Jerry Rice, you would have thought he would have ended his career in damn San Francisco. As great as he was, San Francisco didn't want him back. That's the business part about it, man. I don't take in. That's something that I preach to the young players when they came to the league. And I said the same thing that vet told me about, man, I can't believe they cut my partner. Dude, it's a damn business, man. Would you rather them cut you? You know, would you rather them cut you instead of your partner? I mean, you always got to keep it as a business. That's why you can't get close with the owner. That's why you can't get close with the GM or even be real close with the head coach, because they're going to make a decision because of the fact is that what do we see in football? They're not obligated to your contract. But when you don't obligate your contract, who becomes the bad guy? You do. So always keep it as a business. And don't take it personal, because you ain't the first and you ain't the last. And that's how I look at it. But, yeah, Cam hurt. Cam all up in his feelings, rightfully so, because he feels he was disrespected. And in some sense, it kind of was. You franchise player. They don't owe you a call, but they should have made the call. Don't send me no damn text. Really? That's soft. Be a man about you. This is a big decision. Come on, son. Hey, Cam, I'm sorry. We're not going to be able to work things out. Goodbye. Hell no. Talk to me like a man. At least pick up the phone and call somebody.
Yeah, that's my thing about it. I understand completely, you know, with what you're saying about it being a business, and you're right, they don't necessarily owe him anything. But for a guy that has been the face of that franchise, as he has been for all the time he was there, I mean, literally from the day he was drafted, he became the face of that franchise. You just, yeah, it's kind of like the guy that's worked for 30 years or 40 years or more with the company, and you feel like the guy deserves more than a, you know, than a piece of cake and a pat on the back on retirement day, right? But you're right. They don't owe you anything. But I think that, yeah.
Damn watch.
Damn watch. But you want to think that, I don't know. That's, look, I understand it's a business, but at the same time, you also, you just want to do people right. You know?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great way of looking at it. Just treat people the way you want to be treated. But you can't be in your feelings if they don't. You're a grown damn man, and I made hundreds, all these millions of dollars, man. And I get it, money ain't everything, but it's good to have it though. But yeah, I mean, you know, when you're not in a point where Cam was banged up, and he felt like the organization should have stood by him, because you didn't. You know, you are not the only player that's ever given their body, their soul, everything to a team. That's what you're supposed to do. You give it all to them. And it's just unfortunate that sometimes they just things don't go your way. You can't retire as a game. Not everybody can walk off the field with the same team over and over again. Look at damn Tom Brady, they went to another team. And, you know, you don't think Tom Brady butt hurt from what happened up in New England? Yeah, he is. Yeah, he's butt hurt by it. But you can't get caught up in that part about it, man. Just make as much money as you can and try to win as much as you can. But you can never, ever get – because they treat it as a business. So you got to do the same thing, because it's a business to these owners. They all say they love their players and give them all these things. But at the bottom line, it's their business. This is how they make their money. So you got to take the advantage of them to make your money. And when it's time to move on, hell, pack up your damn JanSport and let it go. Pack up a JanSport, throw it over that shoulder, let's get on. Let's go on to the next one.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, big clip of the day. We move on now over to golf and Tiger Woods. Tiger says that
Tiger Woods,
no energy to feed off of without fans in the stands.
More than anything, it's not the trample down lies or anything like that. It's just the energy is different. There's nothing to feed off of. Energy-wise, I mean, that you make a big putt, or you make a big par, or make a big chip, or hit a hell of a shot, there's no one there. That's one of the more interesting things that it'll be, you know, going forward. And I think this is going to be set up for not just in a short term, but for the foreseeable future, for sure.
That's something that we've talked about a couple of times over the course of this week, Randy, the idea of playing without people, without a crowd in the case of golf, without people in the stands, in the case of Major League Baseball and MLS soccer. Interesting, we talked about it early this morning that the DC United and apparently the Columbus squad in MLS, they have both sent out surveys out to their season ticket holders to gauge their interest on the idea of the MLS playing matches at home in front of a crowd in late August.
Yeah. I mean, and going back to what Tiger said, I'm gonna say this because I want to make Brian mad. It's like, what energy in golf? I mean, can't you just play without – what do you need crowd? I mean, it's just like you're playing the extra round. And I'm just kidding because I know the vision of Tiger and all that, and they get pumped fists and all that. But, I mean, I don't, is that going to make you not play good? And I'm just speaking in golf in general. Is that not going to make you play good because there's nobody there? I mean, but, you know, that's just basically to mess with Brian and get him upset. But, I mean, Tiger is, you know, he is the face of golf, man, and he's coming back this week. And I can only imagine what the ratings are going to be like Thursday, tomorrow, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I can only imagine. And the thing with the MLS, we knew that they were going to try, that they were going to come back. We knew that they were going to come back as far as, you know, have a regular season slate after this tournament or whatever. And now they're trying to implement the fact that there might be some people there because you can't tell me, and like Mike Conte and Jason, they'll be down in Mercedes-Benz calling the game tomorrow to be here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I think pregame starts at 8:30 if I'm not mistaken. But them being in that stadium, just imagine. We know, you've seen on TV how that place rocks. You see how them 17s be in that thing, Chris. Just imagine all them not being there, man. That's going to be the weirdest thing because we're so used to seeing all those people in that stadium watching United. That's going to be weird.
Talk some college football next. Chris Blair, play-by-play voice of the LSU Tigers. He joins us. It's the Midday Show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Radio.com app.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The world of sports has changed, and when it comes to Atlanta sports fans, no one keeps you up to date like we can. We're covering what matters here, locally in the world of sports. For continuing updates, keep it here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back on the Midday Show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth in for Andy Bunker this week. And we'll be joined momentarily by Chris Blair, the play-by-play voice of the LSU Tigers, the defending national champions. Randy, we haven't seen a national championship repeat since Alabama did it back in 2011 or 2012. And certainly LSU, when, if, as the case may be, they take the field in 2020. No Joe Burrow. No Joe Brady, he's gone to the NFL. No Dave Aranda, he's gone to Baylor to be the head coach. Bo Pelini is now the defensive coordinator there. And they had, this is an unbelievable number, 14 draft picks.
Yeah.
And another six guys signed free agent contracts off that national championship winning team last year. That is 20 guys gone from last year.
They were loaded. I mean, they were absolutely loaded. And then you saw the emergence of Joe Burrow having one of the best college football seasons we've ever seen. And along with that, you when you have stuff like that, you lose coaches, man. You lose parts of your staff. It's, of course, you're going to lose some of your athletes. But, I mean, LSU has never been – you know, the cover's never been dry at LSU. It's always been the quarterback play at LSU. It's always been that. They've had athletes, after first rounders. But it was always the quarterback play. And now they got that quarterback play last year from Joe Burrow, and it's going to be, you know, something for them to try and, to fill that void, man, because you just can't take that kind of production away and then, you know, expect it to come back. But, I mean, LSU's going to be fine, man. Ed Orgeron, I think he's a good football coach who is getting paid and getting honored like he's a great football coach. But, hey, whatever works for you, man, because you remember they were trying to run him up out of there. And it was the Tom Herman this and Tom Herman that, and then Edge, you know, because the players play hard for him, and then they found a way to have the magical season that they had, and it was magical, man, because they put foots in everybody. I'm talking about just all up in folks.
Yeah, I think it's interesting how people's perception of Ed Orgeron has changed. I mean, you know, we talked about it a lot on College Football Game Time here on Saturday mornings between 9 and noon on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game during the college football season with myself and Randy and John Chuckery, that I think the perception of Ed Orgeron started to change, Randy, when we all kind of got that idea that he was finally being hands-off with his coordinators and allowing those guys to do the job that they were being paid to do. He wasn't sticking his nose into the offensive side, and if he was into the defensive side, he was getting down and working with the defensive lineman, which he's really good at.
Yeah, I mean, we praise guys sometimes about, admitting their mistakes, looking in the mirror and everything. We saw what Dan Quinn did last year. Ed Orgeron had to take a look in the mirror like, okay, maybe it's not y'all. Maybe it's me. Maybe I'm the reason why, we can't get to where we want to, because I wanted to do it my way. Because a lot of times, and Chris, you know this, you've been watching college football, covering college football forever. The one thing about head coaches is that if they're going to go down, they're going to go down their way. And that's the one thing about it, Ed Orgeron. And then it takes a prideful man to sit up there and say, let me get out the way. You know what? I hired these guys for a reason. Let me see them do their thing. And that's what Dan Quinn did last year, because the one thing about it is you don't want to be the reason. Well, I'm saying if you lose something, if you lose some money, or I know this is me, if I lose money, I want to lose money because I lost the money. I don't want to lose my money because I gave it to you. You know what I'm saying? I want to lose because of me. You should see me on the phone with my people. Hey, man, no, hell no. Yeah, that's just how I am. But no, that's how he was. And now he's at a point where, hey, go ahead. And now it worked one time. Now, can he do it again? He got my man Scott Linehan coming in there to fill Joe Brady's shoes or whatever. Can he do it again? Because it worked one time. And this is one thing we said all year long, Chris, was how long can he stay out in the cookie jar? That was the one big thing. We was like, how long can Ed Orgeron just go without having to interfere anything? Well, he didn't have to, because they were putting foots in everybody. They were going up and down the field. So he really didn't have to interfere on nothing.
Were you with Scott Linehan in the NFL?
Yeah, Scott brought me to St. Louis. Well, he was my OC in Miami. Got the head coaching job, and of course I wanted to play with Torrey and Ike and them, but he was the main reason. I knew his system and everything, and he sold me on he sold me on some stuff. And then, they gave me a whole lot of loot. So I was like, okay, yeah, I'll go to St. Louis. Never been to St. Louis ever in my life before then. I didn't even play in St. Louis. We played the Rams in Miami. I ain't never been to St. Louis. St. Louis ain't a bad town. It just ain't Miami,
Right.
It just ain't Miami. So I'm like, okay, cool. This St. Louis, I can do St. Louis City. And they were like, okay, we got the airplane. Then we got in the bus, the van when they came pick me up from the airport. I'm driving. Okay, there's no more buildings. Driving. Oh, they're in the damn country. End up in Earth City, Missouri, Chris, where it was a truck stop, the Rams facility, and a damn Camden Inn Suites where they put us up. I'm like, damn, y'all couldn't even put us in the Hyatt or nothing, huh? Well, it's all the way downtown, so you got to stay right here in the Camden Suites. So, yeah, but it was cool. But, no, I mean, he caught a lot of slack because of what happened at Dallas and everything. But Scott's a good OC. He is. I don't know if he's as dynamic as what Joe Brady is, but I'm sure that they're going to teach – not necessarily he's going to come in with his system, but I think they might teach him his system. And you know how that worked when I think it was – who was it? Was it Sark that came in here and they tried to teach Sark the system instead of letting him implement things? So there might be a little hiccup if that's what the route they're going to try to do.
Well, you're also talking about bringing in a new quarterback as well, but a guy that has been there in Miles Brennan. But I don't know that any of us feel like he can even possibly be close to what Joe Burrow was. I don't necessarily know that they need him to be who Joe Burrow was in order for them to have some success. He's a little bit more of a drop back guy, more of a classic drop back pocket kind of quarterback, whereas Joe Burrow was more, I wouldn't call Joe Burrow necessarily a running quarterback, but there was definitely a little bit of Fran Tarkington in him, a little bit of Brett Favre in him, where he was a guy that could run around, make a play, extend things until something came open. Miles Brennan isn't that type of quarterback, but he is a guy that can, if you give him time, I think, and he's going to have some weapons. I mean,
Does he have the best receiver? Does he have the best receiver in college football?
Right now, I think so.
Yeah, I mean, the thing, LSU is not going to have a drop-off at the running back position, at the other receiver position. The only drop-off is going to be a quarterback, and that's the one thing that we've always, lamented about LSU was the fact that their quarterback play wasn't consistent enough to match up with the talent that they had. Now they had it last year. Can they continue to build off that? I mean, that's the biggest thing. I mean, as great as Edwards-Helaire was, I'm sure they got somebody. I'm sure that running back cupboard – over there at LSU, it ain't empty, Chris. We know that. They got the best cornerback. They got the best DB in America out there in Stingley Jr. And they're talking about he going to play offense because I'm assuming from what they were talking about during the season is that he promised his parents that he can play offense this year, which is so much pull. Like, hey, I mean, how much pull is that that your son is an All-American corner as a freshman, and now you're going to move him over to offense because Ed Orgeron made you a promise that he can play offense? I mean, really? I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, and you talk about that running back spot now at LSU. Clyde Edwards-Helaire's gone, but don't forget they had Chris Curry back there, who was the backup, and he was the guy that ran so well in the semifinal against Oklahoma last year.
Yeah.
And then they're going to come back with John Emery, who was a freshman last year that contributed a little bit. They're going to be the thing that Edwards-Helaire did so well, Randy, was his ability to catch the ball out of the backfield. Now, I think that's something that we're not going to know that about Chris Curry until we see it happen some in some games and they get a few games under their belt, and hopefully we get a chance for that to happen. But that's going to be the big question mark about them offensively. That and the fact that offensive line is, they're pretty much replacing everybody. They got one full-time starter back in their right tackle. Everybody else in that offensive line. Now, some guys that have played a little bit here and there, but you're only talking about one guy that's actually started a game on the offensive line at LSU.
But LSU always got first-round picks. They always, that's the thing about it is that Alabama's one of those teams. I'm sorry, not Alabama. LSU, they're a reloader. They are. Their biggest thing is going to be the quarterback position. Are they going to be able to – I can't imagine that they'll get the same production that they got from Joe Burrow. Chris, that was just a magical damn season that him and the LSU Tigers had. But, I mean, can they get somebody in there competent enough to run the offense and allows that talent to do some of the things that he was able to do? I think so. I think it is.
You've already mentioned Derek Stingley Jr. That secondary they have is still going to be really, really good with him back there. Even without Grant Delpit, they're going to be really good.
When has LSU never had a good first rounders in the secondary? They always have it. That's why I was like, we talk about DBU. I don't know because Florida they put great corners in, but. You know, LSU, they put great corners, safeties, nickels. I mean, Texas, okay, whatever. I'm not trying to fuss with nobody about who is DBU and all that. Hey, it's whoever you want it to be. All right, there's no wrong answer to it. It's just the answer that you believe when you talk about DBU and RBU and all this stuff. I don't know. Who cares? I mean, whatever. But, they're going to have talent, man. Let's not get it twisted now. Let's not get it twisted. The LSU is going to fall off.
SEC Media Day is supposed to have been happening this week. So, in honor of that, Randy and I spend a little bit of time every day this week talking a little bit of college football about the SEC. We'll get to three damn good questions next as the midday show continues. Chris Goforth in for Andy Bunker, along with Randy McMichael on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and also on the radio.com app.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The outbreak of the coronavirus has affected us all here in Atlanta, and it's made some changes in the sports world as well. As the stories continue to break, we're here to give you the latest. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. It is the midday show.
No, it's time for three. Wendy is playing this music, Chris, like you need to tease your hair, like you one of them 80s movies. And then you got you like you doing an aerobics class. This is definitely. What was the
favorite
80s name?
Movie?
Molly
Randy.
Ringwald.
Favorite 80s movie.
Oh man, I can't name one, man. I favorite 80s movie. Damn, Chris, probably Trading Places or some with Eddie in it. Some with the 80s in it. Some with Eddie in the 80s because, you know, Eddie was that dude, man.
Eddie was the dude in the 80s.
You got 48 Hours, you got Trading Places, then Delirious and Raw. And then Eddie started making movies about daycare with daddies and leaves and stuff. And, yeah, Eddie just lost me. And Starships and stuff, whatever that was.
Same here. You know what was released, by the way, in theaters 32 years ago today?
Really?
32 years ago. You know what the movie is?
What?
Die Hard.
Oh, wow.
I 1988.
What was your favorite Die Hard?
First one.
I love the first one. Yeah, the second one, meh. Yeah, but the knockout was it? The Nakatomi Towers? Yeah.
Yes.
The second one, was okay. But yeah, the first one, then he lost me with the one of him and him. And I love me some Samuel. Him and Samuel, you're like, oh my God, really?
But, yeah. Now the first one for me, by far and away, the best one. And yeah, that was, but again, 32 years ago today, that movie debuted in the theaters. It's only the kind of little nuggets like that that you get here on the Midday Show.
That's it,
let's
man.
Turn things over now.
Movie buffs. Go ahead.
Indeed. Let's turn it over now to Brian Gebhardt for three damn good questions. It's brought to you by...
Time now for some damn good questions about stuff and things with Brian Gebhardt.
It's brought to you by Engineered Solutions of Georgia, proud partner of the Georgia Bulldogs. Dial 678-ESOG now. Again, that is 678-ESOG.
OG,
N-O-W, Engineered Solutions of Georgia. Brian, what you got today?
Hey, guys. We're missing out this week, SEC Media Days, with some of these new SEC West head coaches. So I've got a couple questions about the new guys for you. Which new SEC West head coach will last the longest at his new job and why? And here are your options. Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss, Mike Leach at Miss State, or Sam Pittman at Arkansas?
I'm sorry, Brian. Say it one more time. My thing went out.
It's which of the new SEC West head coaches will last the longest at their new job and why? Kiffin at Ole Miss, Leach at Miss State, or Pittman at Arkansas?
Probably last longest. Probably Lane. I think Lane's going to have they're not going to be contending for titles, but I think they're going to play well because offensively they're going to be fine. I think Sam Pittman, he can recruit, but how good a head coach is he? We don't know, but we didn't know how good a head coach that Kirby was going to be. And Mike Leach is going to say something stupid. They'll get him fired. Yeah.
See, Randy, I'm the exact opposite. I think Leach is the guy that stays there long. I don't think Lane stays anywhere very long because I think Lane is always looking for a greener pasture, and I think a greener pasture will come along somewhere for Lane Kiffin that will get him out of Oxford, Mississippi. I think Leach is the guy that hangs around the longest. And, again, with Sam Pittman, I know you know him well, but what do you get with Sam Pittman? I mean, I think that's what I'm saying.
You don't know. He's always – I mean, he's one of the best bar none recruiters. He's a great offensive line coach, but how is he as far – because he's never been an offensive coordinator. He's never ran a team or a side of the ball. Now, he wouldn't got some woo-bangers as far as players. But, yeah, you just don't know what you're going to get from a Sam Pittman. And I want – because, I like Sam – Coach Pittman, met him quite a few times. Very nice man. You want him to do well. You just don't know – about the Arkansas, because he's going to get the players in, but how do you get them right and all that stuff? But, yeah, whatever.
The one thing that Arkansas did is they gave him a pretty healthy pool to go out and pay his assistants. And he's put together a pretty decent staff there at Arkansas. So who knows how it's going to work. I probably feel less confident about him long term than the other guys. I think eventually you're right. I think Lane Kiffin's going to get Ole Miss to where they're a perennial 9-win team, a 10-win team. And as soon as that happens, another job somewhere that Lane views as being a little more prestigious is going to come open and he's going to jump ship.
Who would you like to have a beer with the most out of those three?
Oh, Mike Leach. No, I mean,
oh, there's no doubt. No,
no.
No question.
I don't like Mike Leach. So I take that. I don't like him. So probably Coach Pittman. Coach Pittman got a drunk nose, don't he, Brian?
Oh, yeah. Pittman looks like he can throw a few back. He would definitely be my answer.
Yeah, he got a drunk nose. So, yeah, I'll probably go with Coach Pittman.
I think a couple of drinks and Mike Leach and the stories that guy could tell. Have you guys ever read his book, Swing Your Sword?
No.
Where he tells the story in this about one of the neighbor's dogs would terrorize him when he was a kid. And the story is, you'll just have to read it. I can't repeat it and do it justice about the dog peeing on Mike Leach's sleeping bag. So that's another, it's a whole nother story. But yeah, Leach is, again, the guy is sheer entertainment. If nothing else, you would get a history lesson because he knows so much about pirates.
Stop being
You'd
managed.
Probably get a 2-hour conversation out of him just on Pirates. So why not?
Fans or no fans, will any trio in baseball, between the bat flips, home run struts, and just kind of overall flair, be more fun to watch than Acuna, Ozzie, and Puig this year?
Oh, it's going to be a lot of fun, man. That's when you know, when we were talking in our in our pre-show call this morning, and you said it. I mean, just imagine the energy, how it would be, because we see the energy when Ronnie goes deep and the emotion between him and Ozzie. I said it before. Is there a more passionate player or protective player than Yasiel Puig? Imagine Puig on that team when that dork from Miami hit Ronald. Could you imagine the hell that would have been unleashed? Yasiel coming out there with a bat, with a Gatorade cooler, and I mean that's the kind of emotion that he does bring. But it is a thing that I don't get why everybody's against the signing. I don't see any negative towards it. He's not going to tear up the locker room, and he's not going to cause you to lose a World Series. I just don't see it.
Yeah, he looks like Mike Tyson. I mean, especially with his shirt off. I mean, have you seen the guns this guy has? I mean, he looks like a heavyweight boxer the way he's built. So he's the last guy you want to see charging the mound.
You remember when they had the cutoff sleeve jerseys? He was too eager to put that thing on, man. Like, yeah, I get to show off the yaks. If I had yaks like that, I'd show them off too. I need two things. I need some bigger yaks, and I need a six pack, and I'm good to go, man. I'll be shirtless all day. I'll be shirtless all day, just walking around flexing like a He-Man doll all day long. Like all day. That's how I'm walking. Just flexed.
So the Falcons website released this all-decade defensive team a few days ago. We kind of went through some of it. Grady Jarrett made the team, and I would expect him to make the next all-decade Falcon team, the one from 2020 to 2030. Is there anyone else on the current Falcons roster besides Grady that you think will be on the next all-decade defensive team for the Falcons?
Ooh. Damn, that's a good one. I'm going to say Marlon Davis.
That's a good one. I was going to go one of those offensive linemen. Would it be McGarry? Could it be Hennessy, the new guy that's coming in this year, the rookie that's coming in? So I'm going to go one of those offensive linemen, two rookies from last year, and then the Hennessy from Temple this year.
Do you think anyone on the defensive side can make it besides Grady, Chris?
I think Marlon Davidson is probably the best bet because it feels like most of the rest of those guys are kind of on the backside of a career, or at least the backside of their time with the Falcons. I don't know that they're going to be here long enough to be able to have enough of an impact so that they would be included in that next in the next decade, all-decade team for the Falcons.
Appreciate it,
Ben. All right, Brian. Thanks, man.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
Three damn good questions with Brian.
Hey, we need AMA questions, guys. We need our AMA questions. Wendy Radio, Brian _ Gebhardt at Randy Mack, or the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. We need your AMA questions for our 140.
We'll talk to Jason Longshore coming up in about 30 minutes from now. We'll talk about Atlanta United tomorrow morning, in fact, in action against Cincinnati. We'll break down the biggest stories in sports next. Time for What's Trending when we come back on the Midday Show. Chris Goforth in for Andy Bunker on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Radio.com app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.